practical web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx. This is your host, Dennis, and this is podcast number 44, interview with Mike Cherum. And I got Ross on the line.
Hi, I'm back.
And Mike is on the line.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. And Mike was gracious enough to call into Skype for this interview, and you're in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I'm Nottingham, New Hampshire.
Now, is that near the water?
Yeah, about 20 miles from the seacoast.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, that must be nice. So, is that your boat I saw, I think, like on your blog or something?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, my dad grew up, like, in Kennebunkport, Maine, so, like, I used to go out there all the time. I'm familiar with the area.
Which is stomping ground.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice area. So.
Yeah, it is.
Anyhow, Mike Cherum is, I was looking forward to this interview because he's got a great blog. It's called beast-blog.com. And you could also reach it at green-beast.com. And Mike is also a part of accesssites.org and has a lot of experience, done a lot of cool things. So let's just jump right into it, Mike. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background and how you got involved with, web development?
Well, it came about as a necessity. I run a company, a mail order company, and I decided to diversify my background a little bit because of government influence in my industry. Got into web hosting and realized we needed a website, and one thing led to another, and I found a lot of joy and a lot of love in designing websites, so I embraced that.
Okay, and how long ago was that? How long have you been doing
it? Since 2004.
Okay, and how did that, how did you get it, like, into just web accessibility and standards? Was that just kind of came along with the...
When I first started exploring web development, web design, I looked at Flash. I looked at a lot of different technologies out there, and I found out about web accessibility, and I was intrigued by it. I realized it was pretty much an untapped market, especially in the United States. I decided that's what I was going to do. I was going to specialize in that, and it allows me to wear a white hat, meaning that it's something that I can feel good about. That's important to me. That's just something I've always been interested in, is doing the right thing if I have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Ross?
Well, how long have you had your blog? And does it go by Beast Blog or Green Beast, or kind of interchangeable?
Well, pretty much interchangeable. I mean, either domain name will work. It'll get you to the same place. What was the question again?
How long have you had your blog?
Since 2004. Well, I did the website, and then I I decided to do a blog, and then I made the blog match the website, and that was 2004. I started actually blogging, I think, in 2005 when I made my first entry.
Oh, okay. And how long did you blog before you got kind of the recognition that you have now?
Well... Since the beginning, I guess. No, I don't know. It's all come very slowly, but I'm in no hurry. Just try to produce good quality articles, share information, and I guess more and more people start reading, so that's good.
Yeah, there's lots of great stuff on there, and the name Beast Blog or Green Beast, they're both really cool names, so you can't go wrong with either one, I think. How did you come up with that? Does that mean anything, or where did that Green Beast come from?
Yeah, actually, the logo, the mascot, if you will, for my mail order company is named Green Beast. It comes from a drawing that was an illustration that was done back in the 16th century.
So you have kind of a whole wide range of skills. Is there a skill that you think you're particularly the best at when it comes to web development?
I feel I have a really good handle on CSS. and making a basic markup web page and the basics, and that's where it all starts. I enjoy PHP, the scripting language. I'm not so hot at JavaScript, just haven't really gotten into it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my skills have come about because I'm interested in web accessibility, not to say that JavaScript can't be made accessible, but if I don't have to use it, I'd much rather use PHP because I don't have to worry about what equipment the visitor has.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and well, we could talk about this a little later too, but I know Mike has done a lot in WordPress, and he has some neat code to share also in WordPress, so I think that's maybe another one of your really
Thanks.
Good skills, yeah.
I like WordPress. It's well supported, it produces pretty decent markup, and it has a lot of flexibility, so I think it's a good platform to work from. Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, I used to have my own CMS, my own content management system. Figure why go through all that trouble and try to stay ahead of hackers and crackers when I can take something out of the box that's pretty good.
So. Which part do you enjoy doing the most in web development? Is it the PHP or CSS or?
That's a really tough question because I'm torn. To provide an answer. I really enjoy CSS, the power of it, and just it intrigues me. I love making images. I love imagery. But PHP just wows me. Seeing some of the things that it can do and some of the, it's almost like magic, so. It's a big thrill for me.
So you kind of like the development application side a lot?
Yeah, I just made a new application called Auto Run. It's a PHP application. It's for providing presentations or doing tutorials online, and that was a big thrill for me to make.
Yeah, I just saw that you just posted that a couple days ago, right?
Yep. It's brand new.
Cool. Yeah, I have to check that out.
So do you think that kind of the abilities and skills of a front-end coder are sometimes overshadowed by these flashy graphic designers?
Not really. I mean, I guess from the client's perspective, what they see is the design. They see the user interface.
Yeah.
The deeper you get into web development, the less it's appreciated by your typical person, I think.
Yeah, just because it seems like, I don't know if you follow Happy Cog, but, you know, they're kind of the big Jeffrey Zeldman's company, and lately they've been posting about their new designs, and if you look at their graphic designer, Jason Santamaria, there's all this discussion about kind of his design, and the front-end coding, it seems like, it's, you know, even though it's a really great job and it's really bulletproof, there's not quite as much, you know, discussion and recognition.
Yeah, I saw their latest one was the AIGA.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. I don't know. I mean, I saw the site. It looked nice.
Yeah. And then you talk a lot about kind of the whole package as far as making sure you make your site usable and accessible, and as well as, you know, high quality design. And what's your strategy as far as, like, balancing them? Because in my experience, when you give more priority to one aspect, it kind of takes away from another.
Well, I have to start at the beginning with any design, and that's the markup. It has to be good quality markup, and then I try to make a lean, mean CSS, nice style sheet, and then put images on top and give it the functionality. I mean, I can't look at any one part of it as being the end-all, be-all, or the importance that it all has to kind of tie together. So.
Exactly.
So you kind of start by maybe opening up a notepad and typing in all the semantic code, and then you think about kind of the visual design later?
Basically, yes. I consider when I'm doing the markup, I do consider, you know, how many columns I'm going to have and how I'm going to organize it. I do have an image in my mind, if you will. It basically starts with a web page.
Excellent.
It's like building a house. You start with the foundation, not the siding.
Exactly.
True.
And, you know, do you have exciting is you don't, or you know, paint, you can change the color at any time.
Yeah, right.
The house isn't going to change, though. That has to stay. So that's what you have to live with. So I feel that's where the most focus has to be initially.
So going back to accessibility, you mentioned before we started recording that you spoke at a talk conference about the Target lawsuit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was the accessibility in cyberspace, the ADA's applicability online. It was hosted by Pike and Fisher, a law firm out of Silver Spring, Maryland. And I was asked to give a presentation to various corporations, legal entities, mostly on the East Coast. But that was pretty important, and that was a pleasure to be part of that. They wanted me to talk about applications and testing tools and stuff like that, and I did. I did provide that, but more or less I told them my feelings about a company like Target and what their responsibility should be. My take on something like that is they're going to spend millions of dollars to make their stores accessible to the disabled. They have one website. What is the problem? Why wouldn't they embrace that?
Right.
Because apparently they were balking at first, saying, well, you know, they can call us and they can come to our stores and you know, we have all these other avenues for people to interact with us. Why is our website? It has to be, you know, accessible. And, of course, once they start talking about accessibility, then they say, well, you know, we've made our site accessible because we have alt text on our images now, even though some of the alt text doesn't even make sense. You know, why you'd have an alt text that says spacer.
Yeah, good job there. Okay, and you said you had an entry on your blog about that that conference call thing?
Yeah, if you go to the blog, it's entries 132.
Okay.
That's probably the best way to describe it based on I'm using a numeric structure.
Cool. I'll put that in my notes.
If people want to listen to it, is there any way for them to get a copy?
They can purchase a copy at Pike and Fisher. It's on sale right now for $229.
Okay. Who else did you say spoke?
Jim Thatcher, Reginald Jones, he was a counselor, DLA Piper, Elizabeth Nowacki. She's the Assistant Attorney General of the New York Attorney General's Office.
Oh?
And me.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a good conversation, so... Yeah.
I was honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's a big honor. So did they just find you through your website, or...
I believe it was a referral from Jim Thatcher.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Which, that in itself is an honor, because I have a great deal of respect for the man.
Absolutely.
If you're not familiar, he's one of the guys who invented the screen reader.
Oh, that's probably where I've heard his name.
He worked, you know, 30 years or whatever, free work for IBM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of recognition there.
Yeah, he can be, if you want to visit him, he's at jimthatcher.com.
What is it, Jim Thatcher?
jimthatcher.com.
Oh, okay. So moving on, you are a part of a site called accesssites.org.
Yeah.
And let's see. Well, I'll just have you, why don't you, in your own words, then explain, you know, what that website is all about and what your role is?
Well, I founded it.
Oh, you founded it?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
that was my baby.
That's cool.
I invited Tommy Olson right from the get-go. About a year before we launched, I had asked Tommy Olson if he wanted to be part of it, and he was right there. Great team over there, the guys at AccessSite. I mean, I couldn't do it alone. So they're instrumental in making this, making it so. What we're all about, basically, is, I used to visit a flash forum, and you would talk about accessibility in a flash forum, those guys just didn't get it. And I realized that accessible websites have a little bit of a stigma, and that some people think that, oh, okay, you're talking plain text, black and white, boring. And I felt that that was going to impede anyone getting into web accessibility that they would, I'm not going to do that because my customers want flashy websites. My customers want nice-looking websites. So what I wanted to do is create access sites where we could showcase and discuss sites that have embraced web accessibility and they look great. And they're usable. They have functionality. And if we can show the world these, that it's possible to have your cake and eat it too, then maybe more people will make accessible websites.
Right. And I saw you got a pretty good sized, you have some good people on the panel there. And
Team Access.
Yeah, okay, that's what it's called. And Is Joe Dolson on there?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a very valued member. They all are. I mean, all the guys are great.
That's funny, because I just found that out right after I did a short podcast with him.
I heard that. I heard recently,
yeah, about the definition of web accessibility, and we just kind of kicked that around, and I didn't really realize. Yeah, it's a tough topic, but I was kind of surprised to find out that he was on that team, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of grade on three different aspects. Do you want to go over that, or is it four?
What's the question again?
As far as on access sites, the sites you feature, you kind of grade them on different scales and then come up with a overall...
We do it differently now. We had a very formal approach before, but now we discuss it more as a team, trying to get more team involvement, more team interaction. So we did change the way we do it. We don't have a formal. We do have four possible awards: a Timeless Award, which no one's won one yet; a Classic Award, we have a handful of people that have gotten those; Quality Awards, and Notable Sites. And even to be an awarded anything is a pretty good achievement, because it's hard to have a site that's accepted by us. We've rejected more sites than we've rejected the majority of the sites that we've reviewed.
Wow. Let's see.
We have some strict guidelines that, you know, and they can be seen at the site, but we used to be more formalized. And we decided not to do that. It was just too much work. I mean, we were spending, 4 to 8 hours on a website.
Wow.
And we're just volunteers. There's no advertising, so we decided to give ourselves a break a little bit.
Right.
We also decided to raise a bar a little bit in terms of the design. We're really looking for sites that can wow us.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was really great about the project is you do consider... design to be an important part.
Design is absolutely critical to proper web development.
Absolutely.
Web accessibility is very important, usability is very important, and design is very important. I mean, design is a never-ending process, too. You just look at your lowly can opener. It's still being designed. It's still being improved. Ergonomics, it's just... design is instrumental, and it's an integral part of our lives.
Now, speaking of design...
touches us every day.
You guys recently relaunched the AccessSites .org website.
Went with WordPress.
Oh, was that what you went to WordPress with the new site?
Yeah, we decided to use the WordPress system again to make it a little bit easier for the team to operate. We're using my CMS, and it's a little clunky, so we decided to go with WordPress. This opens up the community too. Because we now accept comments about the sites and on our articles.
Ah.
So we felt that was an important thing to add.
Let's see. Let's move on to some of your the blog entries you've written.
Sure.
That give people more of an idea of what you do and what you could learn about off your blog. Let's see. You did building a dynamic WordPress nav menu.
Yeah, I do some. I guess probably the best thing to look at is look at my blog categories. I have access counts, which is all about anything that's related to accessibility, all things PHP. Beast Ramblings as a category. It's kind of a catch-all if it doesn't fit elsewhere. Better Business, because I am a businessman. I'm interested in, you know, doing things the right way, treating customers the right way, coding and markup, computer stuff. If I find something interesting or want to discuss, you know, usually a revelation of my own I want to share with the world. You know, it's like, oh, that's what that does, you know. CSS. I write a little bit of fiction, just some short stories, because I have a category for that. Imagery and graphics, definitely an underused category, but I should do more stuff there. Mm-hmm. Security matters, not by choice, by necessity. Security has been part of my life since I've been on the web, not because I wanted to, but because I have to. Kind of drag. SEO, important, is the name of the category for search engine optimization concerns. Wicked Wild Web is basically something that I find out there that I want to share, and WordPressing, which is all about WordPress. Some of these were added categories after the fact. Like, you know, I write about this so much, I should have a category just for this item. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was, like, looking at my notes and thinking, so... But there was a few accessibility entries that you put in that I kind of wanted to just touch upon. You wrote one on the U.S. needs. It's called the U.S. needs exemplary accessibility.
Yeah.
And you want to mention a few words about that one?
Well, I was kind of stemmed from looking at some of the sites out there, some of the government sites that are supposed to be compliant, at least the Section 508 guidelines.
Yeah, and most of them are not, yeah.
Yeah, and it's why on earth would any corporation or any business take web accessibility seriously when the regulators who are supposed to be leading the forefront, you know, in the forefront here, aren't really, don't seem to care or aren't complying on their own. So we need exemplary accessibility in the United States. We need somebody to show, hey, this is how it's done, you know. The government sites really shouldn't just be meeting Section 508. They should be, you know, at least AA priority 2 websites.
Yeah.
I would say they'd be AAA, but I don't even know if that's possible to create a AAA website.
Kind of on that same leg, what do you think of the new laws of in Denmark, which have some pretty strict accessibility guidelines for government sites?
If it's for accessibility and for government, I think it's great. I'm not familiar with the guidelines, so I can't comment on that further.
It's pretty strict. I mean, they go so far as to say that the names of your IDs and classes should be semantic.
Well, make a blog entry about that, and I can see the benefit of that. I don't see where that has a great deal to do with web accessibility.
Yeah,
but it's a good practice for anybody who's a standards compliant developer, and really that's where it starts. I mean, web accessibility, half the battle is won as soon as you make a proper HTML website. You know, use the right elements for the purpose that they're intended, and you're already well ahead of the game.
Yeah, from that point, everything degrades pretty nicely.
Yeah, I mean, there's been an article I wrote for Access Sites called Practical Entry-Level Accessibility. And it's all about that because I think a lot of people are intimidated by accessibility, the myriad rules. They don't have to be scared. They need to start with the basics, and they are already well ahead of the game.
Yeah, kind of going...
Then they can work from the final point.
Definitely. It kind of all goes back to what you're saying about how you develop. You start with the structure and build from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, the easiest way to go, too, you know, and it's the best way to go, and obviously if the goal is to separate your style from content and behavior and all that, and for a variety of reasons. And
behavior, structure, and style, and if you can separate the content by using either database or flat files, then that's great, too.
Okay.
Just makes updating it a lot easier.
So, Ross, did you have any more questions for Mike? Or?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a few things that I found on your blog. I'm also a big WordPress fan. I see that you released a accessible contact form and accessible theme for WordPress. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
The theme, I have three themes. The latest one I think is my best, which is the story of my life as I grow and improve. It's a two-column theme for WordPress, and it's pretty good, I think. You know, not to toot my own horn, but it's an accessible theme. It was done right. It is the theme that we're using at AccessSite. I took that theme that I created and, you know, just changed the graphics and whatnot for AccessSite.
Oh.
The contact form, as I mentioned about, security on the web, that came as a result of, necessity is the mother of invention, they say. And that's how the contact form. I wanted a contact form that people could use, that would be accessible, but I didn't want it abused. So I decided to make one.
Yeah.
It's been in the works for a couple of years.
Yeah, I came across that, and it looks like something that I'll be able to find use for, because it seems like a lot of people overlook contact forms, both in security and accessibility.
Yeah. I'm done putting my email address on the web. That was a mistake. Anybody who's just getting onto a web, you're going to have a website, don't put your email address on it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, there's no combatant to spam that'll solve that problem at this point.
Yep. So,
jeez.
Yeah, contact form solves that problem. The PHP contact form doesn't use any JavaScript at all, so if a person has JavaScript, or whether they don't, it's irrelevant. And it's a pretty popular plugin. It's been getting, it's a need shared by many people. So it's a lot of people really appreciative of having it available to them.
So are there any final messages on encouraging people to stick with accessibility that you have?
Yeah, keep doing it. That's all I can say. Just keep doing it. Keep plugging away. Try to give it a good name. Try to help other people get into it, promote it. Accessibility isn't something you add. Inaccessibility is something that's added to sites, and that's what we need to stop doing. In other words, your basic website is pretty accessible. It's all the garbage that people put on it invalid markup and, all kinds of funky stuff that kind of ruins the accessibility. Accessibility isn't about making a website accessible. It's about removing the barriers that impede accessibility.
True. That's a good point.
Well said. Well said, yeah. Okay, Mike. Well, hey, thanks a lot for joining us tonight, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
It was my pleasure.
And everyone out there, go check out his websites, Green Beast and AccessSites.org. Thanks again, Mike. Take care. The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com, webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com, webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.